tonight. I can't tell you how much it means to me as your pastor to be fed. Somebody say amen. Amen. You give and you give, and all of our pastors give and give, and being fed comes from each other. And I praise God for tonight, Pastor Gary and Pastor Dosha Ray. Fur, I do know a Gary Ray, sorry. Fur, that's part of our church and members. You laughed pretty loud about that mistake I made, Pastor. All right, I just want to, yeah. How in the world that came out, my word. Pastor Dosha is so involved, and Pastor Gary is so involved in music and preaching and teaching and children's ministry and all the different areas, and I thank God for. And I want you to welcome, these are veteran pastors, and they've come into our church, and I will say they've made this place richer. Can anybody join me in that? And we love you. Come on up, Pastor Dosha. Thank you, Pastor Emily. Welcome.
Thank you.
Bless you.
Thank you, Pastor.
Fair warning, I'm a crier, so just let it come out. It'll come out. I'll wipe my tears. I'll get right through it. Just bear with me. But I am a crier. But thank you, Pastor, for letting me do this and share the word that God has put on my heart. I have a friend that sent me a message one day, and it was about something out of Jeremiah. They were doing a study out of Jeremiah, and the lady asked a question. She said, "How long will you stay in your prisoner clothes?" And then and God began to spark a message in my heart about how long we will stay in some of our negative clothes that we have in our lives. So that's what I'll be sharing with you tonight. And forgive me, I do get nervous. I was a very shy child, so, but I'm overcoming. So the message the Lord put on my heart tonight, and also I'd like to say thank you that my work family's here tonight. I'm glad to see them. Thank you, guys. Anyway, the title of the message is, "What Are You Wearing?" The message I have tonight is going to be for everyone. It's challenging. It's a little bit hard. But I promise you it will end on a good note. So what are you wearing? I'm not referring to clothes that can be seen, but the actions that we display that reflect the conditions of our spirits and our hearts. In society today, the way you dress can say a lot about you. They can say things about you that you may not even realize. But that's not really what I'm talking about. The characteristics we hold on to in life, whether they're positive or negative traits, can speak volumes to people. And by asking the question, "What are you wearing?" I'm really saying, what are your actions saying about your spirit and your relationship with God? As I'm speaking tonight, hold tight. Don't be overcome. Because it's challenging, like I said, but it's not a message that's condemning or judgmental. Because it is a message of love and hope, peace, and salvation. So the first scripture I'd like to refer to is 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8. And in the NIV version, it says, "For physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come." And in the New Living Translation, it says, "Physical training is good, but training for godliness is much better, promising benefits in this life and in the life to come." We get so consumed with how our exterior looks, how we look on the outside, how we dress, but we forget to tend to the inside a lot of times, what's going on in our hearts and in our spirits. So if we could see the condition of our spirit, what would it look like? We might look like a zombie, dead. And I spoke on this in Sunday school one day, which sounds kind of funny. You may look gross and like you're falling apart. You had no hope in a future, because zombies have no hope in a future. Or maybe you reverted back to some of your sinful, zombie-like sinful state. And that's kind of where I'm going tonight. So I've got two examples out of the Bible. And by the way, my message is probably going to be a little bit shorter than Pastor Sam's messages. So, anyway, all right, so two examples out of the Bible. The first example of what somebody wears is sackcloth and ashes. So the story, this is from the story of Jonah and Nineveh. So just kind of refresh our memories. Nineveh was a city that God witnessed being wicked and violent. So God finally made a decision that they had come to a point where they just needed to be destroyed. Now, before you judge God on this, think about it. How many times have you thought, God, how can you let those people live, those wicked people that are constantly hurting other people and just destroying things? Example, terrorists. You think, how can they live? And there's a point where God had to say enough is enough. And if you didn't know this about God, this is one thing you got to know about God. He's extremely, and I mean extremely, merciful. He's very forgiving. And that's what you find in the story. Despite the sin that was going on, God had enough compassion to give these people a chance that they did not earn, nor did they deserve. But here's something to know about God. He's not a God that's hoping for your failure. He's a God that knows the success that you are capable of within you. He sees right past all the mistakes, all the failures you've done, maybe right now or in your past, and he sees something wonderful inside of you. So to show his mercy, God sent a reluctant messenger. He didn't want to go. Jonah was sent by God, and he did not want to go. He was avoiding it. If anybody avoided anything, Jonah was somebody that did it. He went the opposite direction. But anyway, God pulled him to where he needed to go, tell the people that they needed to change their lives. I don't even know if he told them to change their lives. He told them to repent, I believe. But he wanted them to know God's fixing to destroy you. That's really the message Jonah wanted to get across. God knew that these people could change, or he would have never have sent a messenger in the first place. God's merciful. God's merciful. So a quick reflection of this. God sends messengers into our lives to expose some sin in our lives, not in hopes that we will fail, but he knows we are capable of success. And if we turn from our sin and repent, that's all he wants. That's all he wants. This is where we oftentimes make a mistake. We get offended that we are told what we are doing is wrong, even if it is from God. We get offended. That's what society is all about these days, is everybody's always offended. It's kind of funny, ridiculous, really. You don't have to be offended or even feel like you're not good enough, like you're trying to measure up to something, because God has made this an easy thing. I'm going to get to that in a minute, just a little bit. I will say this, though. It takes a tremendous amount of love to see past people's darkness. But that's what God does. He sees right past your darkness. That's God. God is love. He is love. So getting back to the story of Nineveh, the city had their sin brought to attention, and the king made a decree that everyone was to fast, pray, dress in sackcloth, and the king sat on a heap of ash. So here we finally find out what this city was wearing. They were wearing sackcloth. And if you don't know much about sackcloth, when I was studying it, they said that oftentimes it's made out of goat hair, which sounds gross, but okay. But we might compare it to something like burlap today. I don't want to wear burlap. It's itchy and uncomfortable. You know, I don't like to touch it. It's just not something you'd choose to wear. But they wore it out of a sign to reflect their inward condition. They were in a repentant place. So back then, people wore sackcloth because they were either in a time of mourning because they'd lost somebody they loved, or they were sorry for their sin. And that's where Nineveh was. They were ready to change, and they were sorry for the mistakes they had made. They not only sat on ashes during times like this, but they would also put ashes on their heads. They looked dirty and messed up. They brought themselves to a place of humility where you have to swallow some pride a little bit and put yourself in a maybe a little bit of an awkward position, because not too many of us would walk around with a dirty face if we knew our face was dirty, but that's what they did. And this type of action touched God's heart. It touched God's heart. And he loved them and showed them mercy by not destroying their city. So those who are Christians, we will be disciplined by God. And sin is exposed, but instead of getting off the mound of ash, we have a tendency to stay on that mound of ash and sulk and pout and stay in a depressed state instead of getting up off the ash and moving on. Because God doesn't want us. He wants us to repent, yes. He doesn't want us to stay on that mound of ash and just constantly beat ourselves up. Oh, I'm so stupid. Oh, I'm the worst thing ever. I'm not a good Christian. I might as well stop. That's not the God we serve. God's constantly telling us, I love you. I've got a plan for you. Will you quit that? Get up off that ash. Let me wash that off your face. I'm going to take you through a process to get you through this. You've got to come to me. I don't know why we think that we have to tell God over and over again, I'm sorry for the same thing, over and over again. You don't have to do that. Tell him you're sorry. Move on. Go forward. Start making better decisions. Be a better person tomorrow. That's all you can do. Don't claim you're stupid. Really, it serves no purpose to stay like that. But sometimes we get so overwhelmed with depression, like I said, we just go right back to the sinning that God set us free from. Don't go back. Don't go back to that. So, yes, tell God you're sorry, but move on. Move on. God loves you. He has forgiveness for you. He has a future for you. The only way for you to walk in it is to get up off your mound of ash, come to him, let him give you a garment of praise, a garment of joy. Let him wash away your sins, walk you through the process of getting better. And God didn't send his son to die for someone he didn't see greatness in. He sees greatness in all of us. And that's where I get emotional. I'm a person. Person that oftentimes sees very little of myself. But God tells me otherwise. God tells you otherwise. And if you ever experience God in that way, it touches your life. You can't help but cry and be emotional about it because there's something about the touch of God that moves you to something better. So when we hear that term, garment of praise, that basically means you are so thankful for what God has done, and you don't wear sorrow anymore. You don't have to wear that anymore. So the next story I have out of the Bible, somebody wearing leaves. And if you know, you probably know what I'm talking about. So this is referring to the story of Adam and Eve. So let me do a brief summarization of this story. Adam and Eve were the first man and woman, of course, and they were told not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. A serpent came along convincing Eve that eating that fruit wasn't all that bad, and it would even make him like God. So she then talks Adam into eating the fruit because she thought it was great. And this is a perfect example of how sin can make you feel. At first, it seems like something that just makes you feel good, but consequences follow. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 7, it says, at that moment, their eyes were open, and they suddenly felt shame at their nakedness. So they strung fig leaves together around their hips to cover themselves. So these two were unclothed and exposed. They were clueless that they were naked at this point. They didn't know. They had no idea. And when they realized they were naked, their first go-to, which is a little bit funny, was leaves. You know? I can't imagine what a catastrophe that was, trying to form clothes out of leaves. That's what they went to. You know? It is kind of funny when you think about it, because if you were like me as a kid, you'd try to make these little wreaths and little bracelets out of flowers. Girls, you know what I'm talking about, right? And it never could stay together. It's not going to last. It falls apart. And there's a funny thing about leaves. When they're taken off of their plant, they get crunchy. And they disintegrate. And they don't last. No. So you making clothes out of that is just kind of funny. There's no tape. There's no glue. Catastrophe. That's a funny thought, but really we do similar things in our own lives. Maybe we're not exposed and naked in that sense, and we're not trying to make clothes out of leaves, but you may not have realized some things that you've been doing were sin because you've been doing them since you were a child, but then they get exposed, and you're like, oh, now I got to hide this. I don't want nobody to know. Oh, my goodness, what can I do to hide this? I'm going to hide this whole sin thing. And they even got to the point where they went and hid behind trees. So we did the same kind of thing, maybe in a different way. So when they heard God coming, God came back into the garden. They hid themselves from God behind some trees, like I said before. And God was looking for them because God loves relationship with people. And all of a sudden, their sin was exposed to God. He knew all along, but anyway, as he began to question them, they pointed fingers at someone else saying, it's that one's fault, it's that one's fault. Adam says, it's not my fault, it's the woman you gave me. Tip right there. Don't blame God and don't blame a woman. Then Eve says, well, it's the serpent's fault. He talked me into it. Now, how many of us had done that before? We say, it's not my fault. It's this one's fault. It's that one's fault. It's our culture's fault. But in all reality, when we're pointing fingers, that finger needs to come right back to us and say, it's me. I made the mistake. I did the wrong. So what can we learn from this? Don't blame anyone else. Don't stay in your sin. In other words, don't stay exposed. Don't be too prideful to admit that you are sinning. You need help. You need forgiveness. Don't try to handle it on your own. Don't try to make clothes out of leaves. Don't hide. Go straight to God for the answers to your problems. Don't be so ashamed. And have the guts to tell God. God knows what you've done. You don't have to be ashamed to tell God. And if you need some help in overcoming, come to a spiritual leader at the church that you know can touch the throne room of God that can help you overcome. Because God has placed people in our lives to help us through this time. So here's what God did for Adam and Eve. Maybe you've never even thought of it like this. But in verse 21 of that same chapter 3, it says, and the Lord God made clothing from animal skins for Adam and his wife. They still had to pay some consequences. But remember, it didn't come without warning. God gave warning to them. God gave them clothing, though, that was more durable and more protective than they had made for themselves. You see, you can't hide from your sin with the things of this world or think, well, I'll just cover that up because your leaves will fall apart. Whatever you're trying to do to cover up your sin, it's going to fall apart. That's not how it works. All right, take a deep breath. Here comes the challenging part. Got to expose some sin a little. Hold on. You might need to hold on to your cushion a little bit, but it's okay. I promise we'll get through it. All right. So in Colossians chapter 3, and you can turn there if you want to. I'll give you a few seconds. Colossians chapter 3, starting with verse 5. Remember, I promised to end this on a good note. Colossians chapter 3, verse 5. So put to death the sinful earthly things lurking within you. Have nothing to do with sexual sin, impurity, lust, and shameful desires. Don't be greedy for the good things of this life, for that is idolatry, and idolatry means you're worshiping things above God. God's terrible anger will come upon those who do such things. You used to do them when your life was still part of this world, but now it is time to get rid of anger, rage, malicious behavior, slander, and dirty language. Don't lie to each other, for you have stripped off your old evil nature and all its wicked deeds. Oh, yep. Yep, that may have stung a little. So I'm going to pause right there, and then I'll continue on. I'm sure some of you began to feel embarrassed. You felt exposed. You felt ashamed, and you want to go into hiding. You want to suck it up and pretend that that's not talking about you. But you know, and God knows. Remember the stories we read and the lessons I just talked about. Don't stay on your heap of ash and your sackcloth. Don't stay exposed, and don't try to hide or cover it up. God has better clothes for you. God has something better for you. So here comes the clothing part. Continuing on in the verses, what does God have for you? In its place, you have clothed yourselves with a brand new nature that is continually being renewed as you learn more and more about Christ, who created this new nature with you new. In this new life, it doesn't matter if you are a Jew or a Gentile, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbaric, uncivilized, slave or free, Christ is all that matters, and he lives in all of us. What a beautiful statement. Since God chose you to be the holy people whom he loves, you must clothe yourselves with tenderhearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. You must make allowance for each other's faults and forgive the person who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. And the most important piece of clothing you must wear is love. Love is what binds us all together in perfect harmony. And let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. What a beautiful thing. God likes to end on a good note, too. Yeah, he exposes our sin, and yeah, it stings a little. But you don't have to stay on a heap of ash. You don't have to stay in your mess. You don't have to stay exposed. He's got some beautiful new clothes for you, something brand new for you, if you'll just turn to him. So I'll also like in this part where it talks about you learn more and more about Christ. We're always learning. God's continually teaching us, and we don't have to stop learning. You don't automatically come into knowledge the day that you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. He's teaching us. I'm still learning. Pastor Sam's still learning. All of us are still learning. But if Christ is all that matters, like the verse said, why do we need to stay away from sin? Why do we need to stop sinning? Well, the Bible tells us that if we love God, we will obey his commands. If you say you love God, you're going to obey his commands. We've got to be different, guys. If you're a Christian, you've got to be different. You've got to be a difference in this world. 2 Peter 2:12 says, conduct yourselves in such honor among the Gentiles that though they slander you as evildoers, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us. 2 Peter 2 and going down to verse 15 and 16. Live as people who are free, not using your freedom as a cover-up for evil leaves, but living as servants of God. Now, that may not mean anything to you, but what a pleasure it is for me to serve my God in any way possible. Because my God saved me. He loved me enough to say, there's something good inside of you. Nobody else may have thought so. Or very few may have thought so. But I know there's something good in you. I have a plan and a future and a hope for you. If you don't know much about God, know that he loves you. And the plan he has for you surpasses the mistakes you've made. You don't have to stay on that heap of ash anymore. You don't have to stay exposed in your sin anymore. You don't have to figure all this out. He's the answer. He's going to teach you. Psalm 30, verse 11 says, you turn my wailing into dancing. You remove my sackcloth and clothe me with joy. What a wonderful thing to replace our sorrow. What a wonderful thing. He didn't have to do that, but he did. So keep coming to him, because when you truly experience the true love of the Heavenly Father, it will change you from the inside out. You won't be the same anymore. You'll be different. Be the difference that the world is looking for. It's exactly what God keeps telling us and teaching us. I keep hearing it in the lessons, like Sister Rita's been teaching, the characteristics that we take on by having a relationship with God. We have to stay connected to God. We have to have a relationship with God. Sometimes we get mixed up in our thinking when we feel like we're just earning our salvation by doing good deeds, and that's not how it works. We're doing good deeds because we love God. Because it's not possible for us to earn our salvation. That's not how it works. John 3:16, one that many of us know. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. What an awesome thing. You sin, you mess up, and God sends his son to die for you because he sees something good inside of you. And he says, that one's worth it. They're worth it. You're worth it. That one's worth it. So in conclusion tonight, and I told you I'm not as long of a speaker, but if you are a self-proclaiming Christian, you have got to be different than those who aren't Christians. If we resemble the world, how we talk, how we act, how we look, how we think, and our conditional love, by, you know, people have to earn our love. If we do that, then we're not showing God very well. Sinners won't recognize us as being any different, and they won't know to turn to God. You represent your Savior. So what are you wearing tonight? How are you representing him? And before you think I'm condemning you, here comes the good part. If you've never experienced or accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, there's good news that can change your life tonight. Maybe for the first time, you've been exposed as a sinner. And you don't have to stay exposed and bare anymore. And you don't have to try to hide it from God. And you don't have to try to fix it before you come to him. God just wants you to come to him for the answer. So tell him you're sorry. Ask for forgiveness. Accept Jesus as your Savior and allow God to clothe you with something that's more durable than a bunch of leaves that you've been trying to clothe yourself with for a long time. So if you would bow your heads, and Gary, if you'd come for me. I just want you to think a little bit. I want you to think for a second. If you realize that you look like a zombie on the inside, would you stay like that? If you look like that on the exterior, no, you would not. Your spirit may look zombie-like, but there's free hope for you tonight. You don't have to look that way anymore. You don't have to feel that way. Jesus cried for you, so you don't have to stay exposed anymore. And if you have already accepted Jesus as your Savior, but maybe you've reverted back to some of your sinful ways, like the ones we read directly from Scripture tonight. Scripture refers to it as a dog returning to its vomit. Don't do that. You've been ashamed to admit it, and maybe you've been trying to hide it. Maybe you've been trying to cover up your sins yourself. God has forgiveness for you tonight. Just come to him and ask for forgiveness. Seek some help from a trusted Christian friend who can help you and keep you accountable. And there are some who have already confessed your sin to God, but you've been staying on your heap of ash, and you've let the enemy beat you up. And you've stayed in a depressed state because you can't forgive yourself. God has a garment of joy for you tonight. So like Adam and Eve, how long will you wear the clothes of shame? God has something more durable for you. Like David, how long will you wear your shepherd's clothes when you can now wear a royal robe? Like Lazarus, as Pastor Sam taught last week, how long will you stay in your stinky grave clothes when you can be wearing abundant life? Like Nineveh, how long will you stay in your sackcloth of remorse when you can be wearing gladness because you are a forgiven person? Like the prodigal son, how long will you stay in your muddy clothes when you can be wearing a new robe, a gift from your father? And like Esther, how long will you wear commoner clothes? And you can be wearing a queen's wardrobe. Gary's going to give the altar call tonight, and I pray that this touched your heart tonight. Don't feel condemned tonight. That's not why God exposes our sins. He wants to know he's got something better for you.